Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
On this episode, I'm so excited to be joined by one of the most exciting players in the Premier League. He's made the Arsenal number one shirt his own, is undoubtedly one of the top keepers in the league, and has kept fans up and down the country on their toes with his brand of banter. This is Aaron Ramsdale.
Aaron, thanks for coming, mate.
No problem.
Absolute
thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
My first question always, what was it like growing up for Aaron Ramsdale?
Enjoyable.
Yeah?
Yeah. From early age, we used to go camping on the weekends. Go down south on a Friday afternoon. And then we'd be outdoors playing all sorts of games, tennis, badminton rounders, hide and seek, you name it, we were doing it. So it was full on, and I just found the bug for football, a bug for having a ball in my hands. And then it got to seven or eight, and I just wanted to do that even more and joined the football team, and that was the rest is history, just football.
Was it always goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did play outfield as well for school and a little bit for a Sunday league team. But I said to my dad, I want to play, and he said, in goal, and I said, yeah. Went and joined a local team, but the year above.
Right.
So there was a period of time where I played for the year above in goal, and then in the afternoon played for my own age group outfield.
Right.
But that probably lasted about 2 months, and I was just like, goalkeepers for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. A friend of mine, Graham Stack, he was at Arsenal as an outfield player at the age of 12 or 13, didn't even know he was a good goalie until his mum and dad sent him on a goalkeeper's course at half term, and then they sent him to Arsenal, and he was like, I'm already there.
Yeah.
And then he went in goal, and he did a year when he was like... It's interesting now. Do you think it's more... I see our local football club have a specific goalkeeper training. When I grew up, the goalkeepers were no one really wanted to play in goal. But now I see this goalkeeper training, loads of kids from a young age. You know, do you think that's the way it's going now?
Yeah. And I think it's the same for all positions. You see right back and left back, what Trent, Kyle Walker, Robertson have all done. People actually want to play there now.
Yeah.
It's the same for goalkeeping, and it's always been the case, it's just not being as noted. And I remember doing Sunday league, and you train with the team, and you just train like you're saying, just with the outfielders,
get shots pinged at you all the
shots.
Time
but then on a Wednesday and Friday I used to do a goalkeeping school with Fred Barber, and there'd be 20-30 people there every week. So
any other goalies come from that little group? At any level?
So Will Jaskalainen, who was playing
Jussi's boy,
so my best pal.
I played with Jussi.
Yeah? So me and Will were the same age group at Bolton.
Right.
So I became very close friends with the family and Jussi. So he was at Crewe last year. Who else? There'll be a couple more. So the likes of Dave Richards at Crewe, Crewe now would have worked through there. But yeah, so a lot of young kids go there and train. So much fun.
So you ended up at Bolton, your first taste of academy football. You know, what age did you think, I've got a chance here? Was there any specific age? Or?
Probably about when I left Bolton and went to Sheffield United. I always did quite well at Bolton.
Right.
I was always good, but I was very small.
Right.
Me and Will were the two smallest on the team, and we were both goalkeepers.
Wow.
There's a picture, I've got a picture on my Instagram, and literally it goes all the players and then drops down to
really?
Us. I was probably about 5'8" when I was under 16s. So I got released for being too small, but at the time it was correct.
Yeah.
But I always had a good time at Bolton. I always did quite well getting contracts quite early, but it probably wasn't till I was about 17, so just starting my second year scholar, where I thought, I've got a chance.
Yeah. So you went to Sheffield United, you know, and a team full of characters, you know, Billy Sharp, Shay Evans, Calvert-Lewin. You know, what was that like as a young goalkeeper? You played two appearances in the Cup when you was first there.
Yeah, so that was amazing. I spent the year before up and down with them training, got a feel of it, and then Chris Wilder came in and put me straight in with the first team as second choice. So yeah, training with them lads every day, Chris Basham, Jack O'Connell, Mark Duffy, you know, Paul Coutts, John Fleck. Like,
I know Fleck,
proper players, and they're old school players. They'll tell you when something's not right, and and they'll give you encouragement. But it was so much fun. I felt really a part of the team.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them where you're not playing, but anything happens, you're going to play.
Yeah,
you're an integral part to, like, the warm-ups and training. It was so much fun. And I left in that transfer window in the January, which obviously I got my break from, but I was disappointed because we were on to promotion.
Yes.
And that team spirit and what was going on around the city at that time, I'd love to have been there for. But I got the two games in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Leighton Orient was my debut, and then played against Bolton. In the FA Cup.
Did you have something in your, with it being Bolton and, you know, not quite working out, did you have that little bit inside you that wanted to stick out?
Yeah.
All footballers will. 100%.
And I remember seeing the academy manager at the time didn't look at me. You know, the rest of the people I saw there were really happy for me and wanted me to do well. And but yeah, going back to Bolton and playing in front of their fans, no one probably knew who I was because I was a young kid. But it was it was great to go back and just sort of show the two reasons why I didn't get a contract there, of being too small and couldn't kick. I was able to show on that day that they were wrong.
Yeah, so many people I interview, you know, ex-players, like yourself, top international players, people don't hear about the little knocks in their career. They're just going to see Aaron Ramsdale, Arsenal's number one, and think it was all like plain sailing, but you've obviously come through a lot. You said Bournemouth came calling, Eddie Howe, fantastic young manager. You went there, and then you've gone out on loan. How important were them loan spells to you? Because specifically for a goalkeeper, because you've got to, I've got a theory with goalkeepers and centre halves. You mature later and you have to make your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You sort of have to touch the fire to know that it burns.
Yeah.
So was them loans, I know they were successful at Chesterfield and Wimbledon, but did they allow you to brush up on your game?
Yeah, crucial.
Yeah.
When I went down to Bournemouth, I went from, as I said, at Sheffield United, really feeling a part of the team to sort of no man's land at the start.
Right.
Third choice. The academy down there wasn't as good as it is now.
Yeah.
So I wasn't being able to play sort of category one football for the 23s.
Right.
I was playing, if I played for the reserves at Bournemouth, it was like Oxford or Plymouth and things like that.
Yeah.
So I just needed to go out on loan. And like you said, you have to touch the fire to feel it. And it was first game for Chesterfield. I chucked two in away from home, lost 4-0 and thought, oof, it's going to be tough, but loved it, absolutely loved it. And I've always been told by a coach, Eric Steele, he said when a goalkeeper's 22, 23, they're almost at sort of a development stage of a 17-year-old outfield player.
Yes, good shout.
So traditionally you'll always see the goalkeepers making debuts 25, 26. It's now changing a little bit because we're getting the exposure of League Two, League One. And it doesn't matter, as a goalkeeper, you go to bottom of League Two, top of League Two, bottom of League One, because you're taking corners and crosses where you've got the likes of Akinfenwa all around you.
Yeah.
You've got the crowd, the pitches are the same, people are taking shots. So for a goalkeeper especially, just get out there and play.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely enjoyed yourself. But you come back to Bournemouth. And when you come back, when was that moment where you felt at home there?
That summer.
Yeah.
When I got back from...
Did Eddie say to you, this is where you're in, or was it a...
No. It was just a fight.
Right.
And that was the best thing he could have told me. We stayed up with Wimbledon on the last day on goal difference, and I ended up... perfect sort of 4 months on loan there.
Yeah.
But then on the last day of the season, of my season, Bournemouth played Tottenham and Mark Travers played and made his debut in the Premier League and he won 1-0 and he'd done so well. And that was an eye-opener that there might not be a number one next year. So I went down to meet the team and met the gaffer before they played Palace on the last day of the season. And he was full of praise of me off the pitch, more mature, grown up and things like this. Mm. And that's down to me meeting my girlfriend, you know, just becoming a man, having responsibilities. And he just said to me, there's no set number one next year. So there's me, Mark Travers, Asmir Begovic and Artur Boric, fight it out.
Good goalkeepers.
So I came in and competition is something I love. Mm. Started doing pre-season, played in a few of the big games in pre-season, but didn't know until the day before the first game of the season.
Yeah. Talk to me about that the goalkeepers union, you know, that sort of, it's unique for even from an outfield player, you know, you're together all the time, working in the gym, on the pitch, and yet there's a competition and there's only one place up. So how is that? Is it a brotherhood? I mean,
it's a difficult one to explain, but it is like a brotherhood, it is like a family. Mm. But you learn from an early age that one position plays.
Yeah.
One person plays that position. So you have to have some certain mentality about being disappointed but not being jealous.
Yeah.
And being a great, great guy on the training pitch without making the situation worse.
Yeah.
Because what happens is if you're the starting goalkeeper and I come into training and mess about and ruin the session, that ruins it for you.
Yeah.
Then you'll do the same for me and no quality will be taken out of that session. Don't get me wrong, people in the goalkeeper union will, if I'm not playing and you're having bad games, I'm not going to be up and jumping about. But you know that's then your chance to capitalise. Yeah. So you do have that feeling of the other person's disappointment.
Yeah.
But it's so good to see, and it's so strange that, like you say, there's three keepers going for the position.
Yeah.
But everyone's so supportive.
Yeah. I mean, it's why sport so great for young people, because you're learning these life lessons that in a normal job, but there isn't that high competition. Mm. And, you know, you don't have to suck it in when you're defeated and take your medicine effectively. I've always found it, you know, unique, and I've been some great goalkeepers. My first England squad, David Seaman, was still there. I played with him in 2002, you know, so I've seen Petr Cech, I've seen great goalkeepers, but it's always interested in the dynamics. But anyway, you eventually got you got the number one spot, you know, and was there any moment when you thought, wow, I'm a Premier League keeper at such a young age? Did you expect it to come so quickly?
I thought that year, which I made my Premier League debut, I'd go to the Championship and do a full season.
Right.
So I went straight from 25 games in League One to starting in the league.
Yeah.
And that was the moment when it was a wow.
Yeah.
And then first game of the season was Sheffield United.
Oh, wow.
So that's my
old
club.
There's a theme in your career.
Yeah. It's my old club, my old manager. Six or seven of their players are making their debuts in the league.
Yeah.
I'm making mine. Dean Henderson's the other end, another young English goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So it was a moment there.
I remember
where
the game.
It was a moment there where it was, wow, what's going on? Mm. And the type of person I was, it was just enjoyment. And I remember the game kicking off and Sheffield United singing their famous Greasy Chip Putty song. Mm. And I was singing along to it. And David McGoldrick threw on goal after about 20 seconds. Yeah. So it just allowed it. I think that was a perfect thing for me. It allowed me to feel comfortable because I knew it was a team which I knew.
Manager,
which both managers obviously believed in me at the time.
Yeah.
So it just felt like a perfect moment for me to make my debut. But there was times through that season where you just sit back and the first time I went and played at Chelsea or Man United and it's like, this is proper now.
You've arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, you went on to win Player of the Year that year. I got relegated. Exactly the same thing happened to me at West Ham as a young player. And it's tough, ain't it? I mean, talk to me about that. How did that frame your personality now?
So I think my mentality has got stronger and stronger through setbacks.
Yeah.
So the Bolton was the first setback, and then going on trial, kept getting knocked down. So I was already building sort of a wall to all this. The Bournemouth one was really hard to take because 5 years in the league, a new goalkeeper to the team.
Yeah.
COVID hit. Yeah. We should never have gone down, but COVID hit and all momentum which we either had or didn't have just stopped for everyone. So when we went down with no fans, and Bournemouth being such a small ground and a small place, people used to hate going there because of what it brings.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what it's like. People will have opinions about everything.
Yeah.
So that year was tough, but it's definitely allowed me, especially for the second season at Sheffield United, it allowed me to know how to work things out, how to deal with things. So I have, it's strange to say, but I have great experiences from what's happened, which other people probably won't. But then when I came to Arsenal, I have no experience of what it's like to be at Arsenal and the likes of Bukayo Saka had of being at a big club playing in Europe.
Yeah.
I've got to learn all that.
Yeah.
But then I had all the negative side,
yeah,
which has built me into a mentally strong person.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it is tough to do, but it does make you stronger.
Oh, 100%.
You've seen that again. So, you know, you've had that season. What was it like for you, for Sheffield United, to come calling then from that moment? That must have been a big moment for you.
Yeah. So, as I said, Chris Wilder, who was massive in my development in the first place, was ringing me up, and after sort of contact was made from the clubs, asking would I want to come, he wants me to come, and then it just felt the right thing to do. I had 1 year of tasting the Premier League. They've just come off a great season. It was keeping myself back in the league, and there was supposed to be a European Championship at the end of that season. So obviously you set yourself high targets, and it was probably a bit of a pipe dream at the time to get into that squad, but I knew to be in the best position to be picked, I had to be in the league. I knew everything about the club, knew the city, knew the area, and it just seemed like a perfect fit. So I was buzzing when I went back.
What do you think went wrong that season? Because I love Chris Wilder, I think he's a fantastic manager, most underrated manager in British football. You know, but it just seemed to go wrong. What was it?
I think a lot of, without being sort of fickle or making excuses, the start of the season, we had three decisions go against us where the referees apologised for.
Right.
But that didn't take away the fact that we didn't pick any results up from them games. So that was gone.
Yeah.
And then I remember playing Tottenham at home, and Mourinho came out and said he'd done the most amount of tactical analysis all season for this game because of how unique the way we played. Yeah. So I think a lot of people were doing even more analysis of the team to stop us playing that way.
Yeah.
Injuries cost us, of course they did. But I think they just sussed the team out.
System.
Yeah, I think they did that much research and that much tactical awareness on it.
Yeah.
And it was just one of them where, again, fans not being there, going to Bramall Lane in January, February, with 30,000 Blade fans behind you. It doesn't, it lifts us 10 feet and it makes it worse for everyone else. So that home away advantage definitely helped. It didn't help, but it was another learning curve for not just myself, but the whole team as well.
It's great that you're chatting about all these, you know, for the young kids listening, all the disappointments you had, and now the happier times now. Arsenal come in, massive club, Mikel Arteta. You know, he spoke to you and your dad on the phone. I know we'll get into that in a minute, but your dad's a big part of your career, which I love as well. But what was it that convinced you about Arsenal and Arteta?
Massive club.
Yeah.
I remember speaking to my dad after the move from Bournemouth to Sheffield United, but it was after the Sheffield United season. And he said, I don't want you to do anything like we've done this year.
Right.
So I was pushing and pushing to get back to the Premier League after Bournemouth was relegated.
Right.
And he said, if another team have the opportunity who come up, so say take Watford, for example, they want you. It could be another season like this.
Yeah.
And it might not be.
Yeah.
Stay here, play 40 games in the Championship, try and get promoted.
Yeah.
Apart from a big club like Arsenal come in.
Yeah.
Everything comes with it, the facilities, yeah. The stadium. And at the start, it was as a number two.
Right.
And that was another challenge for me where it's like, okay, I'll go in as number two, but I'll back myself to get the number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Competition, which I said I love, and it was just one of them things. It was a different dynamic. You go to these big clubs yeah. and you don't realise how big they are
yeah.
until you walk through the doors and
true.
Go on tour with them or play that first game. So it was just me seeing a different side of almost the footballing world.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sport pods. When I went from West Ham to Chelsea, you went from that end of the table to that end table. It's a different sport. Even.
Yeah.
But talking about pressure and number two or number one, 40 million price tag.
Mm.
You know, for me, that says you're the future. That must have been part of the conversation with Mikel. So look, you're coming in to compete, but you're going to be Arsenal goalkeeper.
And that was the best thing for me. When all the noise around it was happening, it was everyone was very short-sighted.
Mm.
It's like, we've got Bern Leno, who's a great goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But actually, he's 30.
Yeah.
So it might take me 3 years.
Yeah.
But then if I have another 7 years playing at Arsenal, then you've got your money's worth and more if I do well. So we talk about the project and the process of Arsenal, and I could see that straight away. And for him to put the money up for me about that and say, listen, you're coming in as a number two, but if you fight and you do well and you play, then it's yours to lose. And that was just music to my ears. And and hopefully I'll be there for as long as I can be and carry on playing.
Well, listen, from watching you from a distance, you look like you've been an Arsenal goalkeeper for ages. You know, you look very self-assured. The fans have taken to you, and the fans have taken to your dad as well. I mean, this is great. I mean, in football, in a game where so much, there's not enough characters and there's not enough. I mean, my mum and dad had a great time following me. I played over 700 games. They came all over the world watching me and had a great time. And your dad certainly looks like he has a great time watching you.
Maybe not anymore. He don't have a great time watching now. He gets nervous and stuff. But I think other than COVID, they've missed two games.
Right.
And that's me playing, going to San Marino and playing under-19s, England, playing in Georgia and things like that. I think one of the days was Sunderland away for Wimbledon and it snowed and they literally couldn't get up there. So they travel all over. My mum used to hate it and my dad was fine.
Yeah.
Because I think he realised how strong I was mentally.
Yeah.
And now I'm at a better place and mum's all happy and loves watching it. But dad hates the way we play.
Right.
He hates me playing in the midfield and taking touches. And I'm just like, speak to the boss.
Yeah.
And I get nervous every now and then because he has the manager's number.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, please don't speak to the boss. But they love it. And now the fact that we're starting to do well and they can see how much happier I am.
Yeah.
You know, just brings them joy. And it's great to, I got two brothers and a niece, so they all get to come and watch as well. So it's been great, and they follow me up and down the country and around Europe as well.
I mean, it's brilliant. You talk about the project at Arsenal, and it's you know, I'll be honest, 18 months ago I was like, I'm not sure where it's going, you know, but I knew I liked Arteta as a manager. Talk to me about Arteta and talk to me about the project, because although you missed out on the Champions League last year, it was a fantastic season, and in the pre-season now, you know, it looks like the project is coming into fruition.
Mikel is so driven. and nitpicks at the smallest details, which people probably don't even see. And I did an interview with Granit Xhaka the other day with the press, and he called him a freak in a good way. And I can agree.
It's a bit risky to talk about your gaffer like that, isn't it?
A little bit. But Granit will get away with it.
Yeah.
But he honestly is so... When he sees something, he's got the blinkers on, and it's down to the smallest detail. And people talk about the project. And when you see... So from last season, who they signed and what age... I think I was the oldest at 23, Ben White 23, Tomiyasu 22. All these players are in a bracket of age. And yes, it'll take time to get used to it. And we had a great season. And from when I signed, they said the plan at this moment in time, perfect plan would be Europa League, which we got.
Yeah,
it was a disappointing end because we were in a position and we lost out to our rivals.
Yeah.
So we're in a position now where the steps in progress we're taking and we're achieving, and we've added some great quality this year. And let's be right, we got more of a chance of winning the Europa League than we have the Champions League at this moment in time. Mm. So silverware would be perfect for us. And the boss, he's really hammering that home at the moment, that we can have a great season and win a trophy.
I think that's great to hear from a player's perspective, because so many managers don't want to elaborate on the silverware, but it's fantastic that Mikel sees silverware in Arsenal's future. I mean, another thing, you made your England debut in the 10-0 win in San Marino.
I think I was sat like this. Yeah. I think I was sat like this all game.
But that must have been massive for listen, we all remember our England debut. Do you think there's anyone who's had more of a comfortable England debut than that?
Oh, maybe Emil Smith. Was that Emil's first game?
Was it?
It might have been Emil's first game or first start. He got a goal and assist. That was all right for him. But no, we played the game. My family somehow got there.
Yeah.
So my mum, dad, one of my brothers. My other brother didn't have a passport for some reason, so he couldn't come. Yeah. My girlfriend, and it was amazing. Harry Maguire calmed me down straight away.
Yeah.
I played with his brother at Chesterfield, and he's like, come a long way since Chesterfield had my son. So that was great. I got a save, and I made a punch from the corner, and that was me sorted for the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it's just ruthless. The team are just ruthless. Harry Kane wanted to play, and I scored 4 goals, I think. And it's like... you get to stand behind this and basically watch as a spectator. Yeah. Not all the games since have been that easy, but to get that out of the way, got all the pressure and all the nerves out of my system for the next game when I played Italy, so it was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, for me, English fan now, the Qatar World Cup's on the horizon. You've got to fancy yourself. You're in the running for that number one spot. You said you like competition. I mean, how exciting it must be to be Aaron Ramsdale now, knowing that you could be England's number one at the next World Cup.
Oh, it's what dreams are made of, and it is so exciting. And like you say, the competition, Jordan's got the shirt right now, and fully deserved. Never let England down. This is the goalie union side coming out.
Yeah.
But we've got 6 months of football, or 4 months of football, to try and change the manager's mind. Yeah. If I can do that, I can do that. If not, so be it. Yeah. I'll still work as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And to be trying to... it's kind of funny to be talking about a World Cup at 24.
Yeah.
And me trying to say I'd be disappointed and stuff's quite crazy.
Yeah.
So if it's not this one, then hopefully I can continue form. And we've got a Euros in another 2 years and a World Cup after that. So it's so exciting at the moment, you know. And it's a challenge that not just me and Jordan, but Nick Pope, Sam Johnston, Dean Henderson, we're all fighting
for. It's a good crop. You're all in your sort of mid to late 20s, aren't you?
So I think I'm the youngest, with Dean a year older than me.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jordan, Sam and Popey, who were late 20s.
Yeah.
But then you've got Alex McCarthy, Fraser Forster.
Yeah.
They're only an injury away from playing for Spurs.
Yeah.
And getting in there. So
yeah.
It's great that we've got five or six England goalkeepers playing in the Premier League.
Who was your hero as a goalkeeper growing up?
So Jasko Lainen was my first one. Obviously having him there as a friend as well.
Yeah.
Was so surreal.
Was it like a mentorship as
well?
That must have been so valuable for you.
It was so good. So we'd train on a Saturday and we'd go over to his house and we'd just be in the garden after he's just played the Premier League game for Bolton, and be in the garden, he'd come out and we'd either shoot at him or he'd shoot at us, and it was just surreal. And again, I was against his son competitively every day, and UC would still have time to help me.
Yeah.
It was invaluable experience. He was like the first one, and then I'd probably say Ben Foster. Yeah. I was a West Brom fan as a kid, so seeing him there. So them two for me.
Worldwide, I mean, I did the England-Germany game. I mean, I played against Manuel Neuer, but like, you know, it's hard to judge. But our commentary box was right behind, and I watched him. And I was just like blown away. The passing out of play. He made a couple of great saves. Who do you think the number one in the world is at the moment? Apart from yourself. You can't say yourself.
It's definitely not me.
Yeah, listen, there's a few people sat in that seat who would say themselves.
No, it's definitely not me.
Not yet.
Alisson's up there.
Yeah.
As an overall goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think you put him in most teams in the world and he'll do really well. I think there's certain keepers who are perfect for their team and the way they play.
Right.
Oblak and Neuer are so good.
Yeah.
Them two are unbelievable. It's difficult. I'd go with Alisson, especially because I get to see him every week and play against him.
Yeah.
And I know how much time, how many points he's saved Liverpool.
Yeah.
And like you say, Neuer, I think he's late 30s now.
Mm.
And to see him up close in that England-Germany game which you were talking about, what he can do still is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's incredible. And the thing is, we're talking now, you as a 24-year-old, you know, like you said earlier, you're already at the top level, but you're still in that developmental stage. So in 4 years' time, you know, if you keep developing, you could be that level and above.
Mm.
That's exciting. It's exciting for England.
Yeah, it's so good to look forward to for myself because, like I say, I think he's late 30s.
Mm.
I'm 24, so I'm potentially injury-free, performing at the top level for another 14 years, hopefully.
And the rest.
So it's just so good to look forward to, but it's cliche, but the next thing to do is the next game, and as long as I play well for my club, the rest takes care of itself, really.
Yeah. What is the ambition this year for Arsenal? Well, we talked about silverware.
For me, I missed the chat about what we want to do as a collective.
Right.
But for me, I think personally, I'd want to win the Europa League.
Yeah.
And if that means we sacrifice by finishing fifth in the league, you still qualify for the Champions League and you win silverware with it. But Champions League for sure. And then I think you give it a real good go in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And Carabao Cup, one of the domestic cups with a European trophy would be a perfect season.
You know, that'd be music to the fans' ears, and I'm with you on that. You know, right? There's too many clubs that will think, you know, we want to get, you know, instead of finishing seventh, we want to finish fifth because it means this much money. Mm. When really, from my perspective, what you remember in football is when you win win trophies, and you want to finish your career with a bucket load of trophies as much as you can.
And the fans always
have
banter with other teams of when you last won trophies. So why would you not go and try and win the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup? And them days, like you said, you never forget that FA Cup. Never forget your first trophy you won.
Yeah.
And for me, that would be a dream to win a couple of trophies this year. Win a couple of trophies in your career. You might never do it. So I don't get why we would try and do something different.
Yeah, and you talk about banter with the fans. You're renowned for that. Do you thrive off of that? And I personally love it. It was something in the 90s. Mm. It was every game, all goalkeepers would do it. But you seem to be bringing it back. I love it.
It's just something strangely in my head that keeps me concentrated.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I'm giving you loads of stick and I throw one in, I'm going to get crucified.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm the type of person, if you to give me something to do and say you can't stop doing that for an hour, I won't be able to complete it. Yeah. I won't be able to complete this puzzle. I need to have 10 minutes away from it and just a little bit sort of ADHD as a kid, sort of that type thing. So, you know, just going into the with the fans and, you know, I'd probably say 90% of the people in the stadium or we do it to take it really well.
Yes.
And I give them a clap before the game kicks off. Nine times out of 10, I receive one.
Yeah.
One back. And then after the game, you give them a clap. And it's just
that sign. They're not on White Hart Lane.
I wouldn't even bother trying to clap there. I think, we'll just leave that one there. It's not the place to be clapping.
But listen, before we get on to the quick fire round, it's been an absolute pleasure, but we can't go without talking about your dad's hat, the famous hat. And he talked to me about it. Where's that come from?
See, this is... It's now his famous hat, but he has a hat collection of 10 hats.
Right.
So he's got pilot hat with the goggles. He's got like a safari hat. You know, like the old school Jumanji?
That white one,
the sandy coloured one. He's got one of them. He's even got a cap with a propeller on. You know, you can fling the propeller around. So he's nuts. He's got the fur ones with the ears. Yeah. But this fez, this smoking hat he's got. And I think Tommy Cooper used to wear one.
Yeah.
So I think he's got one just like that with the little...
Just like that.
With the strings, but I don't know. He's got the same airline as me, so we try and cover him with caps, but he loves it. He don't go anywhere without a cap, so...
Well, I'll definitely want to meet your dad, I tell you. Hopefully at the World Cup in Qatar.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. He wants some sort of spin-off show. Yeah. He wants maybe a goggle box or something like that. He does. So I'm sure you'll get to meet him at some point. And once you do meet him, you'll know we've met him.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Aaron, with each of our guests, we do a quick fire round. Right, here we go. If you had to bet your life on one goalkeeper to save a penalty, who would it be?
It's supposed to be quick fire. It's not going to be quick fire, this. Tim Krul.
Tim Krul? It's a massive shout.
He came on in the World Cup, didn't he?
True.
Yeah, Tim Krul.
Massive shout. Yeah, that was some good psychology from Van Gaal. If you could play like any outfield player, who would you choose to play like?
Busquets.
Yeah?
I'd be a sit midfielder. Get it.
Interesting.
Get it and pass it to your better players.
Yeah, I like that. Just defensively minded.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think is the best save of all time?
Have I got to have seen it live?
No.
Well, Gordon Banks against Pele is
outstanding. That's the go-to one, isn't it?
I'll just go with that one because I can't think of...
That's all right. That's standard, that. If you could go back and change one moment of your career, what would it be? You strike me as a person who doesn't look back.
No. The things which I've done wrong have actually helped me.
Right, exactly.
So I missed the bus to go to Chelsea away.
Right, okay.
In the Carabao Cup. I was back on the bench for Bournemouth. Right. And then 2 days later, I was sent on loan to Wimbledon. And then had an amazing 4 months. So,
ain't that a lesson to young players? You know, whenever you see something that is a down, it can take any turn.
And all like the rejections and stuff, I'd never change because the path I've had.
Your dad's hats.
My dad's hats.
Good. We'll take that one. What's the funniest thing you've ever heard on a football pitch? Listen, this has got to be a clean show as well. You're asking like...
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. Probably just someone saying, don't worry, he'll give it back to us.
Yeah.
Do you know one of them shouts when you've had... The lad's lost the ball a couple of times. It's like, don't worry, he'll give it back to us.
You heard of Stephen Bywater?
Yeah.
My old youth team goalie. He had some belters. We were playing for England under-18s. He just made a save at Upton Park. It was only kids. I've gone to take my position at the near post. And he used to get so like irate. He'd be like, Coley, don't worry about this corner, son. I'm coming out like a train. I went, all right. And he's gone, right. The corner coming, we're right, choo-choo. He's gone to punch this ball. Missed it. He's gone there. The kids kicked it in. I've gone, Stevie, what are you doing?
It's characters, mate.
Mate,
it's
goalkeepers are characters, that's for sure. Absolute pleasure, big man.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Cheers, mate.
BT Sport Pods.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.